fighting for America.
Hamas doesn't care about the civilian population in Gaza. They embed themselves in civilian areas. They use hospitals and schools and mosques. They want those civilians dead.
Fighting for Idaho.
And the Harry Reid Senate's become a factory for show votes, where votes are made that are more interested in winning votes for Democrats in November elections than they are for winning jobs for the American people. That's become the norm.
Fighting for you.
It's one thing to listen to people and to talk with them when you're a candidate for a position. Now, I think that we might have a qualitatively different conversation that I want to listen first before trying to give my views.
Voices, Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
We need to look out for one another, and that's what we try to do here each and every day.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You can always reach us at kevin@kidoam.com on Facebook and everything else. Joining us now is our political consultant, Dustin Cook, who has worked for the governor, he's worked for the senator, he's worked for a lot of people, and now he works for us. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning, Kevin. Nice to be back with you.
Good to have you here. So a lot of people have been saying, you know, usually the summer is kind of a downtime for politics, but there's a lot been happening lately. What has caught your attention when you're on the streets, whether hanging out with your former boss, the governor, or the creative class on Bannock?
You know, one of the things that I've seen that's kind of interesting is now that the August recess is upon us, they've kind of tabled the immigration issue, you know, until a later date. I thought that's kind of interesting. That's gotten a lot of press. You know, we even have some of those kids coming to Idaho.
Well, not according to the governor.
Well, right, not according to the governor, but according to the federal government, they want to send some of those kids here to Idaho.
Right.
But, yeah, that and as well, it's just been an interesting kind of summer. The foreign policy thing has really stuck out to me as far as...
I mean, have they really punted on immigration? Because yesterday there was a meltdown yesterday, another kind of like what we're seeing here in Idaho, where you have John Boehner on the brink. The border bill was a fiasco, yet they still haven't left for their alleged August recess. What they do on that recess, I don't know, but apparently they're still debating.
Yeah, they are still debating. I honestly don't think anything would probably be done until they come back from recess, to be honest with you.
Well, I disagree here. You know, you haven't been here a while, have you? Have you been? What have you been doing? Because you seem to be out of your element here. Look, there's a big fear going on. Do you know what that big fear is?
The fear that all these guys are going to be documented and be able to stay here, these kids.
Well, no. What do you listen to in the morning? Who do you listen to?
I listen to you, Kevin.
Right? Well, then here's a little something for you.
So yeah. I know who's asked to kick.
There you have it, the president. He's upset. You know the deal about that, right? The big fear.
I have not heard that part.
Right. The president. Now, wait a minute. Is this what you political people do? You get me to do your job for you?
No.
Yes.
No.
You've got me talking politics. You're the one supposed to be talking politics, Dustin.
Kevin,
not me.
I don't want your blood pressure going up.
This is Tampa all over again. Yeah, but the president of the United States says, A, he's begging to be impeached, according to Glenn Beck and others, and he's going to, with a pen and his paper and his phone, legalize the illegals.
Well, I think there's a big concern by a lot of people in Congress that the president of the United States has been overreaching with his executive power, and it seems every opportunity that he seems to find a way to push that, you know, push that moment to where he thinks he can go further with that.
Right. But back to what I just said, Dustin, at 580-KIDO. By the way, if you have a question for Dustin, 580-5436, 580-5436. The issue being that Congress hasn't left. They're fearful the president is going to do this. And many people think that the president should be impeached. The president wants to be impeached, allegedly, because it's going to help his fundraising, which has already helped the Democrats. Is this, when it comes to raising money, is this any way to run a country?
You know, no, I don't think it is. And I think we've all learned our lessons that, you know, you can go down the road of impeachment and you can go down that road and that'll get you only so far. But honestly, I think Americans in general, their biggest complaint right now is kind of just on both sides of the aisle is just the inaction of Congress. There's just not a lot being done right now. You know, a lot of people are taking sides and I think that frustrates the American public. I mean, look at the approval rating in Congress right now.
Yeah, but the approval rating of Congress is always that way.
Right, but I mean, can you think any time in your recent memory, Kevin, where so much has not been done in D.C., where, I mean, there hasn't been like some huge type of legislation that's got through that's been, you know, something that people could say, yeah, you know, you could tie yourself to this or that. I mean, I can't think of anything in the last 2 years that the president's really pushed through other than the Obamacare.
Right, right. All right, Dustin, we continue on here at 580 KIDO. Let's get back to Idaho politics, which is where I wanted you to go to begin with.
Okay.
And you decided to go to Washington, D.C. You been to D.C. lately?
I haven't been in a while.
Then why are we talking about D.C. politics?
We should talk about Idaho.
Right.
So, Idaho politics. Kind of interesting. You have the opponent against the governor running out there, television ads and stuff. So it's, you know. That.
No, Dustin. Let's reset here. Okay, yeah. Do we have the reset bell? 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our political consultant, Dustin Cook, with us here. And, you know, Dustin, it's been a hot and heavy season of politics in the summer. Usually people are chilling out. What's going on in politics here in the summer? What's the skinny?
Well, the skinny is, as you know, Congressman Raul Labrador has recently hired Dan Popke.
Oh, you're going to the Popke card. I'm talking Barry Peterson and the injunction, the big brouhaha that's been going on.
Well, that's probably been one of the bigger pieces of this offseason has been the injunction. You know, the article came out. Barry has said that he will step aside from politics and let those, I believe there's three candidates now that are going to run.
Right, but I mean, we have this convention that continue to carry over. You have a lot of grassroots people upset with the governor. You have a lot of people that say this might impact the general election. What's going on?
You know, I don't think it'll impact the general election as a whole. I think, you know, they have the meeting, I believe, tomorrow. I think come Monday, the party will unite like it always has in Idaho. I don't think a lot of people saw this coming up at the convention, you know, where we just didn't even vote on that type of thing. I think there was some concern that, you know, from my own personal standpoint, if I was a delegate and I went to Northern Idaho and I spent my gas money, hotel accommodations to go up there and have nothing done, I think there's a kind of a bad taste from.
Well, who do you blame?
I don't know who you blame.
Who do you blame?
I would.
Who was the chairman of the convention?
Well, I mean, you
blame. Who was the chairman of the convention?
I think you blame, you know.
Who was the chairman of the convention?
I believe it was Barry, I believe.
No, it was Congressman Labrador.
Oh, right. Well, Congressman Labrador chaired the convention, but I mean the.
Yes, who was the chairman of the convention?
Raul.
Yes.
The congressman.
So who do you blame?
You could blame the chairman.
Well, I will blame the chairman because no one else has enough guts in the state to do this. Just because you're conservative, just because you're a true believer, doesn't mean that you get inoculated from blame. In my opinion, tell me where I'm wrong, political consultant here at 580KIDO.
Right. I think.
Let me finish. Thank you. Where I'm wrong, where all of a sudden you have the chairman of the convention that allegedly is running for majority leader that comes in there, it's a boondoggle, it's a disaster, he gets out of town, nobody holds him accountable. Oh, by the way, the political reporter that has been the scourge of every Republican now is his press secretary, and nobody finds anything wrong with that except, humbly, Kevin Miller. Why? Where am I wrong on this?
Well, I think, you know, I think they're, honestly, in my opinion, I don't think he should have been chairing the convention at all.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. Where am I wrong in this, and why is he not getting any blame for this disaster? Dustin, when you mess up at work, what happens?
You get fired.
No, Dustin. Oh. You get blamed, right?
Well, you get blamed for
right.
It. Right.
Yeah, let's not use that in this show, please. No. You get me nervous. But back to this issue here. I mean, you get some blame.
Right. There's accountability that has
right.
to be put there. Absolutely.
And I just didn't really see anything with this convention.
Right. And I think if you go back to the convention, there was so much targeted on Barry, you know, in that situation, that I think that you're right. The eyes was not on the congressman because he came in, he chaired the convention and went back to D.C. So a lot of that, you know, stemmed around Barry, you know, kind of being the front piece on that. If you look at what happened there, I mean, it was Barry was in the news every single day, and that story just kind of never went away. And then it went to the, you know, the attorneys got involved, and then there was the injunction, and it just, I think that kind of in some ways, in my opinion, helped the chairman, you know, kind of, you know, be in the shadows of the situation.
Well, because we didn't have the political reporter that asked Governor Otter how he holds him accountable, really didn't cover it. And look, Dan Popke's a great guy, but, you know, the idea that there were glowing stories about Congressman Labrador for the last 6 months, I can remember telling you, and you remember our conversations off the air, I go, what's going on here? And then I would talk to Dave Burnett about it. It just didn't seem... again, your typical Dan Popke, who, what was he talking about with Governor Otter, what, 2 or 3 years ago, when he was talking about the triple threat alliance or something like that, the axis of evil, and that the governor had seen all of those. So we take a look at Dan Popke, the dean of Idaho Political Reporting, not a favorite with Republicans. All of a sudden, he's the press secretary for the arguably one of the more conservative members of Congress. Why?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at...
No, I don't think. Why?
Well, my opinion on that is, you know, Dan Popke has been in, for 30 years, has been the journalist, you know, for political, you know, he knows the people. I was talking to someone yesterday that, you know, the one thing that a lot of these legislators and even the congressmen, they get into office, and there's a lot of political people in Idaho that have been around for decades, and they see something happen in the legislature or that, and they're kind of like, why did that happen? You know, well, why did it go that way?
Are you going to answer the question?
Yes. And so to have an ally like that, I think that's why it did happen. He's been doing politics for 30 years. Dan, you know, like or love him, he knows the politics. He knows the people. He knows the situations. He's been through every, you know, political party in the last three decades. And to have someone like that as an ally on your team.
Well, no, an ally, you're a paid staffer, right, number one. An employee, number one.
Sure.
And number two, what does that mean for the people that are in his staff in his Murnane office? They're not keeping him in touch? Look, the idea, and you're missing the point here. Now, don't be politically correct. You know the deal with this show.
Right.
You know the deal. You know better than the way you're behaving right now.
Okay.
You do know, you know, as you like just torquing me here at 580KIDO, you know better. Look, and you know because you talk to these people. You are one of these people.
Sure.
There are people on the establishment, the grassroots, that feel befuddled, feel betrayed, because they've been popkeyed, if you will. Popke on politics. Look at the in-depth report on Lawrence Denny. Look at the reporting in the past on Senator Craig. Look at all these other things. Now, because we have a sophomore congressman who comes in and says, I'm going to hire this guy, who has difficult relations with other folks in elected office in Idaho, I think that's troubling.
Right, and I think that's where the concern from that side of the party comes from. They're just, you know,
from every side of the party.
Yeah, I would think there was a, you know, yeah, I would absolutely agree with you on that. I mean, there's, I think everybody, when they saw that headline, you know, was like, well, nobody saw that coming. I can't see anybody that even saw that coming.
But I just don't understand that Dan Popke is going to help Raul Labrador with politics in Idaho. Popke ever been elected to office in Idaho?
No, but again, I don't think the hire of Dan Popke is someone that is very well vetted in the political process in Idaho in the last three decades.
Hey, do you need that as a press secretary? Just write press releases.
Well, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, you're looking at somebody that's got a lot of years left on him in the congressman. He's probably got higher aspirations of office.
Such as?
Probably governor someday. So, I mean, if you look at something like that.
Shouldn't he be worried about his job that he's elected for?
Well, absolutely, but I
see, this is what I don't get. And China Gum, and I told you should have listened to that interview yesterday, but you didn't listen, so we continue. China Gum and I got into this yesterday where she's telling me about, well, you know, national attention. Look. Here's the skinny on this, and I'm not a congressman, I'm not a governor, but I will acknowledge people that do a good job. You look at Governor Otter, what does he focus on? He focuses on Idaho. You take a look at Mike Simpson, that a lot of conservatives vilify, the guy focuses in on the INL, he focuses in on jobs, number three in appropriations. And this is a lesson that I've had to learn as being on the big shows. That does nothing for you. That does nothing for you. Being a big deal in Washington, what does that really do? Higher offices? Hey, you're elected for the first district. I think Congressman Labrador does a good job. But look, it's Meridian, it's Nampa, it's having people that know those cities and what goes on there that is going to get you reelected.
Yeah, you have to know your constituents. You have to know what they want.
Right. David Gregory, with his declining ratings on Meet the Press, cannot help you. More with our intrepid, erudite political consultant.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Up all
night. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dustin Cook with us, our political correspondent. Dustin, your thoughts?
My thoughts are, as we get towards this is August, we're less than 100 days out from the governor's race. You're going to start to see a lot of that heat up. I think you, like you said, you have the August recess. You'll have the members here from Congress home visiting their constituents. And I think this governor's race is going to start to heat up. You're going to see some things happen in the next 90 days. It'll be, you know, there's a big lead for the governor now, but I think you'll also see that tighten a little bit. It'll be an interesting race as we go forward.
By the way, I will say this. A lot of people say, well, Kevin, you and Dustin are going back and forth here. All Dustin does seem to do is get you fired up, which he did in Tampa. But when it came to actually predicting the primary results, you had it right on.
Half percentage point, I think I was off in the governor's race.
Yes. Dustin Numbers Cook is where we should start calling you Numbers. Tea Party Bob joins us now at 580 KIDO for Dustin Cook.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin? Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful.
Tea Party
Thank
Bob.
Thank you very much. I'm just kind of curious. You had it so right on the primary. Now, we know the governor won by one of the smallest margins, if not the smallest margin, for anybody else. How do you think that's going to carry over if he doesn't reconcile the party between now and the November election?
Great question, Tea Party Bob. You know, one of the things that I think we have to come to terms with is after the August 2nd meeting, the Republican Party has to rally around everyone, unify. That's a big deal. That has to happen sooner than later. I believe that will happen sooner than later. Here in Idaho, we've been good stewards of that. You know, no matter what side of the party you're on, the far right, the middle, people come together for the greater good. I think that will have to happen for the governor to obviously be reelected here for his unprecedented third term. And, you know, I think Idahoans will see that, even in eastern Idaho, northern Idaho, and here in the Treasure Valley. And it's just going to take, you know, unifying the party and coming together for the greater good. I don't think anybody in the Republican Party thinks that having a Democrat governor would be a good thing for our state.
Tea Party Bob, what do you think to Dustin's comments?
Well, I think you're very wrong, and I don't think you've really been talking to the grassroots people as I have. There are very many people out there that are very annoyed about a lot of the things the governor did, particularly in getting a lot of his cronies to take these precinct committee jobs. That was not what people would call nice. And I think you're going to find that uniting this party is going to take a lot more than just calling them together for a meeting on Saturday. That's not going to work. There has been no conciliation whatsoever. We haven't heard from the governor, and I can't tell you how long, about what happened in the primary. And the simple fact that, you know, he only had one debate in the primary is probably one of the reasons that he won by that 0.5% or 1%. My point is that the people of Idaho, the grassroots of Idaho, are tired, I mean really sick and tired, of being pushed around by the establishment people. And I don't think you know how deep this goes, but I'd certainly like to know what you feel about it, because I've got a totally different take on it.
Sure, Tea Party Bob. You know, what to say that there isn't, it doesn't go deep, I would think that, I would never say that. If you look at what happened to the convention, I think that's a pretty good barometer that it is. It kind of is deep, and, you know, it didn't happen yesterday. I mean, there's obviously been a part of the party and with the establishment that has, you know, wanting to, you know, push their ideas for the last 3 or 4 years. And honestly, you know, I think the governor will come out after the August 2nd meeting. He will unify the party. I've always told people many times, the governor is a very conservative individual. And, you know, most politicians you're not going to agree with 100% of the time. But if you agree with them 80 or 90% of the time, that's probably the person you want leading your state. We have the lowest unemployment we've had. He's brought us through the recession. I mean, there's a lot of great things that you can look to the governor as
well. Wait, Dustin, I agree with you. You know, he's a conservative person, but don't get into the values of the governor and as far as the economy goes, because that is not someplace you want to go with me. You know, the whole point here is that if you take the governor's record for the last 7 years, it is not a good record. It's not a good record in GDP. It's not a good record when it comes to the amount of minimum wage jobs we have. It's not a good record in the amount of money people are making that they were making prior to the last 5 years. He does not have a good economic record.
Well, Dustin, how do you respond to that?
Well, Tea Party Bob, you know, I respect your opinion, but I'd have to disagree on that. I mean, if you look, when the governor went, you know, he's been in office now almost nearly two terms. And when, you know, you never know what you're going to get on the job. And when the economy crashed, the governor had some pretty bravery. You know, the Democrats came to him and said, you know, let's just empty the state coffers and just let's get this economy going. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. We're gonna ride it out. We're going to put a little money aside each year. And if you look, there's statistics out there. When we came back out of the this long, long recession, Idaho was only a handful of states in the entire country that it was in the black.
All right, Tea Party Bob, thank you. Quickly to Miles at 580KIDO for Dustin.
Well, the question that I would ask is why, what is in common with Dan Popke and Labrador? And I think that there is a fairly obvious answer to that.
And what's that?
Are we there?
Yeah, and what's that?
Both are very aggressive and dedicated to producing. Labrador went up and down the first district asking the question, has the governor lost his way? And someone needs to find out, where is the lantern? We had people go to the convention, go all the way up to Moscow, and they came home empty-handed. The people who didn't like being thrown out of office and pushed away rebelled to that. They found themselves spending money for 3 days in motels, and the credentials weren't ceded from Ada County. The credentials weren't ceded from Power County. There was a lot of resentment for the governor micromanaging the entire party.
Great point, Miles. Thank you for that. Dustin, thank you. You're listening to 580KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And here we are, 580KIDO, my favorite day of the week, because it's Monday, and we're back to work, everybody. And I know Dave Burnett, he had a vacation, then he had a long day on Friday. He's back ready to go with us as well, right, Dave?
I am. I'm glad to be here. Monday's good. Got up early. Actually, didn't get to sleep. It was 11:15 when I last looked at the clock last night. I thought, oh, that's not going to be good, but woke up raring to go.
You know, it's funny, and I don't know if this is an older thing that you wake up in the middle of the night. No, not for that. Just to kind of look at the clock and go, oh, 2 more hours, 3 more hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I do a lot of that.
Yeah.
But so it goes.
So we've got certainly a Monday ready to go. Now, did you watch any of the preseason football game last night?
You know what? Yesterday, what a great day. You got NASCAR and NFL football all in the same day. Great day. Yes, I did.
And Dale Jr. winning.
Dale Jr. picked up the NASCAR win, and you had Buffalo playing New York last night. Giants win the game, you know, for those keeping score.
Yeah. It was kind of tough. You know, we've been without football so much, and then you kind of get the Bills and the Giants, and you're thinking to yourself, it's going to take me a while to get adjusted. But, you know, we are back. You know, now we've got the preseason football, college camps opening up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's exciting. You here locally, you got the Broncos in camp, you got the Vandals in camp, you had the Hall of Fame inductees over the weekend, to which it still just irritates me.
Yeah.
That there's one person that should be in the Hall of Fame that is not and is no longer mentioned, and that is Jerry Kramer.
Hey, let me ask you a question. We had the folks, I think, from the Gallatin group in. Remember that with Jerry Kramer's daughter, and they had this big push, and that wasn't this year. I think it was
that was last year. No, that was last year.
And then it just faded away.
Yep, they got ignored, and they decided, you know what, it's not going to happen. Jerry said, pull the plug. Let's just let it go.
Man, and then you hear about all the players that whenever they go to the Super Bowl, Jerry Kramer is like the biggest draw.
Yep, he always is. People love him. And I think he's the only member of that offensive team not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, now you have to wonder, Dave Burnett, you of the conspiracy theories of the George Norrie show, what do you make of that?
They don't like Idaho. Like, no, I don't. It's the Obama administration. No,
it's Obama.
I don't know why.
Stop you hating. Yes.
It's got to be tough. You know, you look at a couple of those guys. They had, was it Claude Humphreys or somebody they had on there? There were a couple of guys that waited a long time before they were voted in. A couple of guys like Strahan got right in, which he deserved, by the way.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. That guy was a beast. He was a beast.
Right.
But you have a couple of guys that waited a long time to get in there that had kind of given up.
Hmm.
But finally voted in. So I would just hope, you know, for Jerry's sake, for Jerry Kramer's sake, that he gets in and it happens, you know, while he's still here to enjoy it.
Right.
So I would hope. But nonetheless, you know, you got the Hall of Fame, NFL football, preseason, mind you, and more coming up this week. You got more preseason football this week. You have Johnny Manziel making noise but not doing well enough to play with the number ones in Cleveland.
This is the weird thing about Johnny Manziel here at 580 KIDO, that they moved up to draft him, and you've got this owner who used to be a minority owner with the Pittsburgh Steelers who just had to pay $92 million to people he defrauded, barely avoided prison, lecturing Johnny Manziel.
Well, somebody needs to lecture Johnny Manziel, he is one guy that I just don't know who's going to make it. I don't know. I think he, you know, to me, he may be the big flop.
Well, is it because of the organization? Is it because they're setting him up to fail?
Well, I wasn't impressed with him in college that much. I mean, he had some good games, some good streaks, but he's too inconsistent, and his lifestyle, not the lifestyle of a guy who needs to start in the NFL. I mean, he should have had his nose in learning the playbook. Now he's holding press conferences saying, well, I've got to learn the playbook. Maybe instead of being in Vegas laying around in a pool full of swans, maybe you should have been in Cleveland studying your playbook, buddy.
Well, and I have some bad news for you.
Yeah?
It looks like your favorite conference is going to have the largest ever premiere for a sports channel in the history of cable/satellite television ever. DirecTV looks like the final one to actually fall to bring in the SEC network.
You know, it's too bad what the SEC is doing to college football. It really is a shame, but they're going to steam ahead because there's dollars involved.
Well, I think it's dollars involved for everyone. They're just, and really, they're not even the most profitable. I think the Big Ten, because of their market size, is the ones that actually make the most money, and Pac-12 is closing that gap as well. But the SEC, because of ESPN, and I'm not name-dropping, Dave. I'm trying to be a good boy here.
No, go ahead.
Here. Have you seen my friend Paul Feinbaum on ESPN or ESPN2?
Yes.
Okay, and essentially it's a simulcast of his radio show, and if you've seen it, so I'm not leading the witness. Tell me what you think.
What I think, why? I mean, in what sense, what do I think?
Well, what do you think of the program, the callers, the everything else? Because I have some insights, but I'm not trying to lead the witness here at 580K.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I have seen it. I haven't watched it. So I couldn't give you an honest answer. But I've seen that it's there and I've seen it on. But I have not spent time to watch it. Because really, and it's nothing against the SEC, probably the best conference in college football. I just don't care. It's much like I don't watch FIFA soccer. I just don't care.
Okay, so I'm with you.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to be the SEC.
Well, sure.
I don't know if everybody can. So I'm watching my friend Paul Feinbaum, and look, he truly is a very nice young man. He's very successful. In fact, I've often taken a look at what he's done, and everybody wants to be the next syndicated person. I think that if you really own a market locally, as Paul did for many, many years, that's all you need to do. And I understand how Paul did it, and et cetera, et cetera. But when I see his show, essentially what they've done, and if you're not into TV and you have a life and you go to McCall and you go to the Oregon coast and you do all these things that Dave Burnett wants me to do, you're not going to notice this. But for the sake of some form of entertainment, I'm going to give you some insight. All it really is an infomercial for the SEC network. It's brilliant for ESPN because they are using ESPN2, ESPNU, a channel that they already have on DirecTV, to promote something that you can't get on DirecTV. And if you have Dish or Cable One or something like that, you're ready for it. Every commercial, they even break up the content of the show. And some days Paul's in a tie and the next segment he's not. So it's a hodgepodge of things. And basically they're giving you promotional material for the SEC network. It's kind of like what the UFC does with their fights on free TV. You get a big fight on Fox or on 630 The Fan, and the next week it's pay-per-view, the bigger fight.
Yeah. Well, you know, ESPN, the evil four-letter network, they have been genius at the way they have done it. Even the way they've used Boise State. And some people will say, well, that way they didn't. Yeah, they've used Boise State. I mean, when Boise State wasn't on ESPN for those two seasons, did you ever see them talking about them? No. No. But because the games are on ESPN, then they'll talk about them. And, you know, suddenly got Mark May hating the Broncos. And, you know, they play it very well. They're very smart on TV that way.
Well, they are. So as we get ready for college football season, have you had a chance to look at what the Broncos are doing? You had a gentleman from the Press Tribune. He's mad because I guess Coach Harsin has a different way of having the media look at practices. You know, I think what the media has to understand, and we see this with politicians, and I express this to you both on and off the air. I mean, this is Brian Harsin's job. Brian Harsin's job is to prepare that team, a team where the college and really the entire state and possibly region is dependent on their success. Mm-hmm. So if he feels that the press doesn't deserve access, and I've had issues with this, but, you know, who hasn't had issues? That's his call, right?
Absolutely, it's his call. And it's a way, you know, he has to manage his program the way he wants to manage his program. I think in a lot of ways, I don't know that the media can really complain because he's been a lot more open with his players, allowing his players access to the media and the media access to the players than Coach Pete had. But then there's other things that he is changing that's a little bit different. So, you know, they can, you know, the media can whine and complain, but Harsin has to do what he thinks is best for that program.
So, your thoughts on this year?
I think enjoy Jay Ajayi, because unless he gets injured, this will be his last season with the Broncos. There is no doubt in my mind on that one. They're already lining up NFL scouts to come watch him play, and they did last year. The kid is a beast, and will probably, unless he gets injured, God forbid, you know, it's bad for anyone, I think probably you'll see people courting him, because I think you'll see him as a first or second round draft pick. So enjoy Jay Ajayi. I think Grant Hedrick is going to do just fine running the offense. Question will be defensive line and how they do. That'll be the big question for the Broncos.
Well, you just heard our political correspondent, Dustin Cook, on here. When he's not a political correspondent, he's a sports correspondent here. And, you know, every year we have the friendly wagers of the staff. So if you had to take a pick now, how do you think that the Broncos are going to do?
I think the Broncos will actually do fairly well. I think they'll do well. Fresno's going to be a challenge for, you know, the typical suspects will be challenged. I think the opening game, and I'll be honest with you, and you know how I love to pick on the SEC, but the only advantage Boise State has over Ole Miss is that Ole Miss does not know what they'll be coming out with. They don't know what the defense will look like. They don't really know what the offense will look like. So the Broncos will have a quarter advantage. That first quarter, while Ole Miss is sorting out, you know, what the Broncos are doing. And after a quarter, they'll have it figured out, and then they'll have their defense ready to scheme against them. So, and I think that's also why you'll see practices tightened down by the media or on the media, just because they want that element of surprise. It's the only advantage they have over Ole Miss. So for Boise State to beat Ole Miss, that would be a tough nut to crack, because Ole Miss is going to be very good in the SEC. There's a lot of SEC schools worried about Ole Miss.
Oh, they should be. And, Coach Freeze there has been doing a very good job for quite some time building that up. He had the number one recruiting class, what, last year or 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and has continued to build.
He has, so it's going to be, you know, great game. Wish I could get over to Atlanta to go watch it. It's going to be a great game.
I guess, you know, and I guess that's the whole big season kickoff. You've got the SEC Network, you've got this, that, and the other. Now, I wonder, and again, I'm sorry for folks for being too sports-centric, but this is how we're going to justify it. We're talking business, really, not really statistics. But I'm wondering how much that's going to actually dilute the ESPN product for game day.
What do you mean? The
SEC Network. Because they're going to launch. Basically, they're going to have an SEC game day.
Yeah.
They're going to have the regular game day. And who knows? By the way, ESPN is really a model of how different media entities should all work together under the same roof.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It'll be fascinating to watch how they craft it all. That will be absolutely fascinating to watch, because they'll do it as well as anyone. The evil four-letter network.
Indeed. So besides that, the big news over the weekend, and I think we're very lucky here, Stephen Yates is now the new Republican Party chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, here's a gentleman that has, you know, as we've heard here on this program, lectured or briefed George Bush and Dick Cheney. He's been in Idaho 3 years, and now he's a state party chairman.
Yep, stepped in and has been nominated to and actually elected to lead. So so they have new leadership. What happens to Barry Peterson from this point? Where is he going?
Barry is going to hang out in his farm and mountain home, going to do his hang out in his home improvement store, his and just kind of do his own thing.
Well, I think, you know, there is need for strong leadership in the Republican Party. It's, you know, I think it's very apparent. You've seen it fray around the edges. We'll see if this is it.
Well, and Mr. Yates says that, and we'll hear from him today at 8:30. Mr. Yates has said that he's going to listen to a lot of people,
which I think is good. A good listener is that's a good thing to be. Much better to listen than to be speaking foolishly.
Hmm. Well, when it comes to politics, how can you avoid that?
Good point, Kevin. Yeah, there are lots of things to talk about today. You got the big ban hitting a lot of schools on their bake sales. I don't know if you saw that on Drudge over the weekend. Yeah. You know, so I'm curious to see if any local school is going to be hit by that ban, if that affects Idaho and Idaho rules. You got Ebola, a passenger dying at the London airport. That's a little frightening.
Yeah, that Ebola is wicked scary.
Yeah, so you got that going on. You got you know, a couple people, one being treated in the U.S., the other one on their way back to be treated on Tuesday. So they said they got that all quarantined and good. I know we can always trust that.
I was watching the Sunday shows, and it was nonstop Ebola.
I know, which always makes me worry. What's going on the other hand? If we're looking at Ebola, what's going on the other hand? It always makes me want to look at the right hand. It's the old magician's trick. Kevin, that traffic now as you're coming out of Candy.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, good morning, Dave. And coming up, we're going to take a look at our lands with Ken Ivory, the Legislator of the Year. Details to follow.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.